The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Doctor, I had a tubal ligation, and after that, I just felt like my health fell to pieces. I've asked my doctor, and he said, that couldn't be causing the problem. Can it? And the answer is, of course it can.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that might be news to you, huh? Can a tubal ligation cause a woman to end up having poor health? Huh? That was Dr. Stephen Hotze explaining how the effects of that surgery can impact other parts of the woman's body. It is fascinating. It really is. We're seeing in our country here also a rise in vasectomies. Right, we are living in a culture of contraception. I've talked about this in the past. I talked about how when contraception became mainstream, where it would lead, and I took you down the path of you know how it led to abortion, and we see so many Supreme Court decisions that would soon follow. We see where we are today in a culture of death. When you go against God's natural order, then there is disorder. That's what ultimately happens. And nothing but chaos and suffering and ultimately death. You know, we hear so much about the abortion debate right now, and there's all kind of angst, you know, on the left about the possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned. But, look, abortion is just one piece of this whole sexual revolution, right, that has overtaken the country ever since the 1960s when the pill was invented. About 62 years since then, right? And contraception has become commonplace, right? You're probably using it. A lot of Catholics are using contraception and think that there's nothing wrong with it, using artificial contraception. It's so common. It has stepped in as a backup in case contraception fails. As it repeatedly does, what happens? Abortion is the ultimate contraception, right? When your contraceptive doesn't work, people move to abortion. That's why I think abortion has become just so entrenched within our society today. People are so passionate about the thought of losing it. But in addition to the life issue, right, we have divorce. What happens when you contracept? What did Paul VI say in Humanae Vitae, right? Divorce has gone through the roof. That means the stability of the family, it's almost a rarity in our country. I think about the shooter down in Texas coming from a broken family, right? You take a look at a lot of these kids. Dysfunction in the family is really, I think you can trace it back to contraception, to artificial contraception and the supportive mentality in our country. But we keep hearing that women need abortion to be equal to men. And we keep hearing that's why they need contraceptives too, right? What you don't hear is about why men want abortion to be around. You don't hear about why men are so desperate for women to be on contraceptives. The fact is that a lot of men want these things so they can have their fun, right? They don't have to worry about the consequences of having to father a child. I hope I'm not being too crass or too direct here with this, but that's kind of the reality if you think about it, if you zoom out. I know a lot of, oh, that's not true, not in this. We can parse all that, but the big picture, you can see the great satanic lie here. Contraceptives are used by both married and unmarried couples today. And what ends up happening is I think it has a psychological factor. And I think it has increased those who think that they can get away with this extra physical, you know, activity, if you will, extracurricular relationships. Men can betray their wives or significant others. They can do it, you know, in all sorts of ways. Men do it, believe it or not, through pornography. And my next guest is very familiar with that. She founded an organization called Reclaim. That's a great betrayal of a relationship. If a husband's hooked on porn or abusing himself, it hurts the relationship, you know. The fornication. Sometimes it ultimately leads to that. And a lot of women have to deal with this. It's an isolating experience. And some people think, it's normal what he's doing, right? Shouldn't affect you. Well, there's a new group out, Starter for Women, who have actually experienced this. It is called Navigate Betrayal. It was founded by Elizabeth Ministry founder Jeannie Hahnemann. And believe it or not, it's premiering today on the Feast of the Visitation. I just want to put you in touch with this. I was saying to Jeannie before, I mean, she's been on the cutting edge of Elizabeth's ministry. Then Reclaim, which dealt with pornography, and now Navigate Betrayal. There is a sea of betrayal out there from pornography to extramarital activity and affairs. And this is something that is wounding relationships, and Satan's loving it because he hates family and he hates marriage. And this is an alternative to it. This is a solution to help your marriage heal and to help you really find a way to find the freedom that God intended for you. I'm in studio today with Jeannie Hahnemann. Jeannie, first of all, congratulations. I know you probably started Elizabeth Ministry on the Feast of the Visitation, too, I'm assuming.
Not really, no. But it is based on the Visitation Mystery. So.
But congratulations. Today is the launch date. I'm proud to be part of it with you today. You. Fill everyone in. Why today? And give us a little background on this, because there's a lot of wounded people out there listening right now.
Well, absolutely, Drew. And when I look at, your lead-in and the conversation you were having here about contraception and abortion and all those issues, Navigate Betrayal has coined the term dishonest sexuality. And in reality, everything you just talked about is dishonest sexuality. God gave us a sexuality to be able, within a marriage of one man and one woman, to freely give ourselves, fully give ourselves, faithfully give ourselves, and fruitfully give ourselves. Anything that we do outside of that, outside of God's will, is dishonest sexuality. And for us and Elizabeth Ministry, we've been dealing for over 30 years with the life and love issues. And today, we wanted it to be on Relevant Radio where we announce our launch. We've been doing a beta for a while to kind of, get all the little problems fixed. But now we are launching the full program. And this is for women who have experienced sexual betrayal from their husbands primarily, but it can be from a boyfriend. It's designed for wives, but we open it up to any woman who's experiencing this problem. And that sexual betrayal that happens from pornography, masturbation, affairs, virtual or physically, any kinds of those things cause such extreme trauma to the woman that it really is a post-traumatic stress disorder and has been looked upon now as that.
How common is the problem? Oh. I mean, do you have statistics? I mean, how many women, how many marriages suffer?
Well,
because extramarital affairs are one thing, but I mean, I think pornography, you look at it around the church, 3 out of 4 men are... It might even be higher than that. I don't have the data in front of me here, but how pervasive is this?
Well, it's pretty hard to get exact data, mm-hmm. but you have data from Christian men's organizations that will say 50 to 60% of the men that attend these Christian events are admitting that they struggle with pornography use and masturbation. So that means that their wives, if they're married, are also dealing with that.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So mm-hmm. I know you have a friend joining you today, Ellen Drews, who has been betrayed. She knows the trauma of betrayal. Why don't you introduce her, and then we'll get Ellen's story.
Well, I kind of like to be able to introduce her with a visitation story. And
great.
So what
go
I can
ahead,
say with ahead. That is today on the Feast of the Visitation, one of the unique things about the Navigate Betrayal program is that it really is created and designed by real women who have experienced betrayal trauma. Mm-hmm. And we bring in all the experts, so there's all kinds of, extra materials like that. But it's really designed by women who know what it's like. And it's more than just an online program. It's much more of building a community of people who can help one another. Ellen and I met through our training by APSATS, which let me see if I can remember it. APSATS stands for Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists.
Wow.
So in our training with that, and she lives in Florida, I live in Wisconsin. But instantly there is a bond between women who know this pain and especially women who know this pain and are trying to do something to help other women. And so in the story of the visitation, we have Mary who is afraid, right? When the angel gives her God's plan and God gifts Mary with the gift that we all need to have when we're afraid. And that is that the angel Gabriel tells her not to be afraid, and your kinswoman Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary goes with haste to be with a woman who will understand her unique situation, because she had one too. That's what I have found in Ellen. She is one of just a gem of a woman who I can reach out to because, I've been dealing with this for a long time. I've been helping women for over 40 years deal with this issue. But my own betrayal trauma Sometimes it just is triggered. And I can have someone like Ellen that I can reach out to who understands and can support me and give me help. So I'd like to bring Ellen onto your show today as one of my Elizabeths.
Hey, Ellen, thank you for joining us. It's good to have you here.
Absolutely.
Ellen, do me a favor, and because you know your story is new to me, and I know it's probably new to a lot of our listeners. Why don't you share what you went through, the pain you encountered, and how you're finding healing?
Sure. Well, no woman plans for this. That's one of the things that's really just so powerful about betrayal trauma is that it just sort of sneaks up on us like a bomb that's dropped in our lives. I just had my own betrayal experience. I had been married for, close to 20 years when I had a discovery, that there was something really seriously, wrong with my marriage. And so I, just by the grace of my faith knew that I needed to heal and that I needed to, take care of myself. And so I began my own healing journey. And, in doing that, God just kept bringing me people that would just carry me through that process. And I really know what it's like to be in that darkness and to really experience just the pain and the brokenness of compulsive sexual behaviors. And I have today a husband who's very healed and a marriage that's healed and a family that's healing every day. And we're just growing together. And so I really truly feel like one of my ways to sort of praise God is to just be a living example of that hope that there really is healing for women and to share that with women. So Jeannie and I were preparing ourselves, and that's how we met.
Yeah, and again, you don't have to get too in-depth or too intimate, but your husband was not faithful. What are the steps for this betrayal? I mean, I'm sure there's probably a lot of denial. There's probably a lot of anger. How did you ultimately find healing? Because a lot of women throw the towel in today. The divorce rate's it's 50% plus or minus. It fluctuates. But one out of two marriages fail, and I think this is a big factor in that. So what happened as this revelation began to manifest? And then ultimately, at what point did you decide, I'm going to make the marriage work. I'm going to put this behind us.
Yes, well, I decided to save myself first, really, truthfully. When I found this, I knew, this is kind of a sinking ship, and I can go down with it, or I can get some help for myself and just be able to be a better mother for my children through this. And so that's how it started for me. But I was very fortunate that my husband really wanted recovery. I think I can speak for sex addicts when I say that when they are discovered, while it's extremely painful, it's probably the one thing they fear the most. It's really the most life-saving moment for them, just to get out of this misery. And so he also took the opportunity as just really a life-saving moment and sought recovery. And you don't just get over betrayal trauma. It's a long-term thing. It's usually been going on a long time, and you have to really sort through the past with your spouse and do that. And today we have really great steps to do that. There really is recovery. Experts have been trained now at how to repair the marriage as well.
Yeah. So, Jeannie, let me get your take on that as well. I mean, do you ever really get over this? I know you say, okay, Ellen, I'm hearing you say, we decided to heal, and there is recovery, there is healing from this, but I don't know. If it ever happened to me, I'm just being honest. I don't know if I could get beyond it. I don't know what those steps are to say. You know, every time I drive past that restaurant that I knew you had dinner in, it would come back and haunt me. Or every time I knew you watched this movie or traveled to this place, there would be triggers that would drive me crazy. And to be able to truly get beyond that. Now, I believe, look, if your marriage is sacramental and you're faced with challenges, whether it's addiction or infidelity, you've got to get out of abusive relationships, but we can't throw our marriage away. And that's why I want to credit both of you, because I do think this is a bitter pill to swallow, and it's a difficult path to traverse. But we are called to heal. We are called to forgive. We are called to try to restore that marriage. You know, what do we say in those marriage vows? What's the priest says? You know, let no man put this asunder, right? Well, God is joined. So it's a tough path to walk, but fill me in. Help
absolutely,
me understand
Drew. I mean, before all this took place, I was one who had made those statements, you know, if he ever cheats on me, I'm getting divorced. I'm not going to, you know, all those things as we all, you know, kind of believe, right? Mm-hmm. Defensive. But when it actually happened, and it sounds very strange, but I've heard it from many, many women over the years, there was almost a sense of relief. Because I knew something wasn't right, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Once honesty was there between us, once that full disclosure occurred and I understood it all, and yes, was I mad? Was I angry? Did I even become violent? Absolutely. I'm not proud of who I became. But in that process, something brought us closer together, the Holy Spirit, God's grace, that there weren't lies between us anymore. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, even though it was the hardest and most difficult time in my life, it was the closest I was ever to my husband, because we were so open, wounded, and honest with one another. And by the grace of God, we chose to cling to one another instead of turn away from one another and find the healing that we both needed. And is that hard? Are there still triggers? Absolutely. That doesn't just go away, right? But I think of an incident where I watched a movie and there was something that happened and it was a trigger for me in the movie. And I could have gotten angry at my husband next to me, but I grabbed my phone and I actually texted Ellen. And I said, this is happening right now and I'm feeling bad. And she, you know, texted right back and gave me some kind of great response, you know. And then within a few minutes, I could text her back and say, yeah, you know what? I have something better than what I just saw in the movie. At the end of our lives, we're going to be able to say to each other, we've been through the good, the bad, the ugly, and the best.
My guest today, Jeannie Hahnemann, Ellen Drew, is taking a look at how to navigate betrayal. And I'll tell you what, I'll open the phones too. Maybe you're going through this right now. Maybe you're in the storm. Maybe you're deciding what you're going to do. Maybe you've lived with this a long time, or maybe you've found the help, the healing, and the new beginning that you so desperately wanted. I'll open the phones. You can join me, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Ellen, let me ask you about this, because you were on the receiving end of this. What if your husband, your partner, doesn't want the healing? You know, why does a betrayed partner need the healing regardless of whether her husband seeks recovery or not? How do you go about that?
Sure, and it does happen, sadly. So in those instances, we just really encourage women that they are still called to heal. You know, you can't control what someone else chooses, but you do have the ability to control and choose for yourself. And what we know, interestingly enough, is thanks to some brain scans that were done several years ago by Dr. Daniel Amen, he looked at the brains of men who engaged in very compulsive sexual behaviors. And then he looked at the partners who were betrayed by them. And interestingly enough, the partners' brains also were severely impacted and had really the same type of wounding that the sex addict's brain had. And so we know that this is a brain issue. We know that there is trauma there. And if the marriage can't be saved, it doesn't mean that she can't be, and that she really can't get that healing psychologically, emotionally, physically, spiritually, sexually, that she needs to get from having gone through this level of betrayal.
I'm curious, is there a common denominator with men who betray? And what is the role of the partner in this? Are they... and I got to be careful about how I say this. I don't want to point the finger at the
Remember,
wall.
I'm in studio. I can reach you, Drew.
Something you can throw or hit me with. Is there a chance to put that microphone down? Is there a common denominator that drives men to this type of behavior? Because not every man cheats, you know? Is it a is there something, I guess, Is there a default in the marriage? Is there some sort of, what am I saying, looking for the word, dysfunction in the marriage?
It really
isn't,
Drew.
That or the relationship? Or
it really isn't. In fact, many times it's a very healthy, in all other respects, healthy marriage that has this problem. What the issue really is that they can come up with is that some man's, or a woman, because both can get involved in this, but we'll say a man in this instance, mm-hmm. is that his autonomic nervous system is damaged generally as a child through some kind of trauma. Some type of childhood experience that was very, very traumatic for him, and his autonomic nervous system was damaged. And so, like Ellen was saying, some of the brain scans that Dr. Amon's able to do, et cetera, seeing that the spouses, the betrayed spouses, are now having some of those kinds of issues is because it all really goes back to some type of post-traumatic stress issue that's happening. And Dr. Amon is one of the contributors to our online program, Navigate Betrayal. And so many of the things that he's able to share with us help us understand that this really affects physiologically the person, both the person who's acting out in unhealthy sexual behaviors and doing dishonest sexuality, as well as the betrayed spouse.
So Ellen, what do you do? And Janie, you can answer this as well. I mean, you suspect your spouse is looking at porn, or your spouse is, you know, having an extramarital affair. He's, you know, staying late at work or whatever it might be, even emotionally. Maybe he's not getting physical. Maybe there's this emotional betrayal there. What do you do as the woman in that relationship? How do you confront that in such a way that is healthy? Because I'm sure there's a lot of unhealthy ways to approach that. What would your advice right now be for the woman who finds herself at this crossroad?
Ellen, go ahead.
Well, okay. I would say, we would recommend women who are really in these early phases. We follow the multidimensional partner trauma model for healing. And so that model really focuses on safety and stability in this first phase. So when you first have a discovery that something is really wrong, you found some proof that there's been some sort of acting out outside the marriage, we would really encourage women to just focus on their safety and really getting stable. And that might include making an appointment with their physician to be screened for sexually transmitted infections. It might be time to really pick one or two safe people that you will be able to share this with, so that you don't isolate completely and then you don't go and talk about it more than you want to and will regret later on. And so find some safe people. Find a program like Navigate. Find a coach or a therapist trained very specifically in sex addiction recovery and betrayal trauma. We can't stress that enough, that you really have to seek specialized help. So those are some of the first things I can think of. Jeannie, what have I left out?
Well, I think the first thing is that before you confront someone, your spouse, if you think there's a problem, you do kind of need to get your ducks in a row first. And so that, as Ellen said, safety's number one. Because, again, you don't know how violent or upsetting that your spouse might be when you accuse them of some kind of behavior, because they're trying to keep this a secret, right? Mm-hmm. This is deceitful, what they're doing. So making sure that you are very well prepared for bringing this topic up, and also making sure that you're in an environment where you can bring it up without children hearing you or any of those kinds of things. So some preparation work for the right time to bring this up.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll take a short break when we come back. Let's take a few calls. You can get in if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. And we're talking about navigating betrayal. I knew a woman who was unfaithful to her husband. It's not just men who are unfaithful to their spouses. And when the husband found out about it, he reacted in such a way where he cut her off and cut off the money. It just was really, really ugly. So to your point of being prepared to talk about this, to make sure that you're in the right position. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk much more. And Jeannie, I know you're an expert on the damage that happens physiologically with the brain, especially when it comes to pornography. And I want to look at different, levels of betrayal. Are they all the same? Is betrayal betrayal? Is pornography less for the guy who dabbles in it versus the man who is renting the hotel room? We can talk about that and a lot more. We'll take your calls, too, when we come back. If you're going through a difficult time, if you're navigating betrayal, if you're trying to find healing, if you want to save your marriage, had two experts with us today, Ellen Drews, Jeannie Hahnemann. When we return, we'll talk more. Join us now, 888-914-9149. We'll be right back.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm a fan of yours. I listen to your replay at night on the Relevant Radio app.
It's the Drew Mariani Show.
Working graveyard as a mail handler.
On Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Trying to give you a look at life you will not get anywhere else. Today we're taking a look at navigating betrayal. I know it can be personal. I know this can be intimate. But a few interesting stats on infidelity. 55% of women, 55% men, 50% women surveyed have been unfaithful. They've admitted to being unfaithful. That's a stunning stat that it's that high. Hey, but, you know, it lines up with the rate of divorce in our country. According to the study from Marriage.com, women cheat almost as much as men. And that figure is very close to the divorce rate, and that's almost one out of two people. 50 to 55% means half of the relationships were damaged by infidelity at one point or another. Those are insane, and just absolutely insane infidelity statistics. But there's good news. There is help out there, and you can save your marriage. There's a new organization out. I just learned about it last month, and I said, look, I got to give it some air. It's called Navigating Betrayal. So that means everyone listening right now, Jeannie, I'm thinking one out of two almost. You know, the numbers are pretty high. If those stats hold true, there's a lot of people right now who have a son and a daughter, or you know, they themselves have gone through this, or their parents. It affects just about every family, I would think. And betrayal's a boy. That's a cold, you know, knife in the heart.
That's exactly what it is, Joe. It's like a knife in the heart. And I can tell you that in Navigate Betrayal, our program, NavigateBetrayal.com, we actually use the analogy of the sea of betrayal, and kind of like you're floating in this boat and you think everything is wonderful in your relationship, and suddenly this horrible storm of betrayal comes into your life and you really are tossed all about. You can't even find the horizon anymore. And women will respond, and men, because again, as you said, this betrayal goes both ways. They will respond with physical problems, like literally throwing up like you would if you were out on a boat and you were seasick, not being able to think straight because a fog comes over your brain because you're in such shock and in such trauma. So this is a serious, literally life-threatening condition. The person who committed to have your back has now stabbed you in the back. So it really is a difficult situation.
That's rough. Well, let's grab a couple calls, and I'm also joined by Ellen Drews. And Ellen, feel free to jump in at any time. I'd like to start with Mary in Illinois. Mary, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I was married for 20 years to my husband, and one day he just walked out. I didn't hear from him or anything. For 3 months, I didn't know where he was or what was happening. And then he suddenly popped back in. And but he wasn't. He did not live at home. I don't know where he was living. And subsequently, maybe a year or two later, I found out he was living with a 24-year-old girl and her 7-year-old son. And that was it. He never called. He never paid any child support. We had children. Nothing. He said, I don't live there. I don't have to pay for anything. I don't have to take care of the kids. They're not my responsibility. You had them. You take care of them.
Mary, I'm so sorry that you have gone through that experience. And in your voice, we can hear the kind of hurt that still exists there. And for anyone else who's listening...
Okay. He died.
Okay. Okay. And for anyone else who's listening who might be in that same position, I really appreciate that you called in, because the hardest thing for any woman to go through this is to be in isolation. And somehow we think like we're the only one this has ever happened to. And sadly, the kind of story you're talking about has happened fairly frequently to the women that we communicate with. So thank you for sharing your story.
Do women blame themselves, or the male blame themselves? Like, it's something I failed to do. I wasn't as attentive, or I'm not as attractive, or I'm getting old, or I'm putting a little more weight on, or...
You know, every situation is so unique, Drew, and that's what makes it really difficult. It's not like, okay, you have a sinus infection, we're going to give you some antibiotics, it should clear up. If it doesn't, we'll give you some prednisone, that'll work. We can't do that, because every single circumstance is unique based on the people who are involved in that situation.
Wow. All right, we'll go back to the calls again. Elizabeth in Wisconsin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I have been in touch with Jeannie for probably 8 years now, I think, 7 or 8 years right now. And she's helped me through this before she even put together Navigate. We were communicating about this subject. And I've unfortunately been married in the church 3 times over the course of the last 32 years. And all 3 men have had pornography problems and infidelity. Wow. And the internet, especially, because the first one I married right before the internet went live, and we lived out in California, and the internet, I can tell you very clearly, had a huge impact on the rate that this, you know, that this exploded, I think, for people. When I lived in Silicon Valley in 1989, the divorce rate where I lived and the people I knew went up to 85% when the internet went live. And almost every man that I knew out there was involved in pornography and infidelity because it made it so easy.
And that's so true, Elizabeth. And one of the things that we've seen is even if we do, through Elizabeth Ministry, a woman's retreat, we'll end up having so many of the women crying and sharing their story because it is so common.
Wow. Well, Elizabeth, I hope it works out for you. I mean,
still struggling now, trying to. I had to leave the last one. I have a child with my third husband, and it's been, and I had to leave, like Jeannie was saying, I had to leave for my own sanity, physical health, and safety, and so that I could actually hopefully live to be a mother to our child.
Yeah.
And the post-traumatic stress is significant. It took somebody from me who was on their way to get a PhD to barely being able to work.
That's great. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, thank you for sharing your story.
Ellen, could you speak into maybe that concern about women who really do not have a husband who wants to get better and they do need to walk away?
Absolutely. Because I think what's important for people to understand, too, is so in homes where there is dishonest sexuality and there's a compulsive, you know, sexual acting out going on, it's more than just the sexual betrayal that's happening in the home where this is going on. You know, for someone to keep a secret, they really have to do a lot of unhealthy behaviors, like manipulate and have some covert control over their wife's reality. And so there's a lot of psychological manipulation that has to go on in order for, you know, this secret life to exist. But even more painful is that when someone's giving their energy to acting out or to pornography use or any other forms of betrayal, they're not bringing that connection or that energy to the home and to their loved ones. So wives and children who are in these homes might almost feel like they're starving for that connection or, you know, just any sort of emotional connection. And so it really can be an abusive situation, and it may look from the outside like a very happy, healthy home, but if you ask the people who live in there, they can tell a very different story, that there's a lot of hurt going on, and sometimes it truly, there is some physical abuse, you know, that can certainly be a factor, but it really can be unsafe for women to remain in these relationships, both psychologically for her, it's not good for her, you know, well-being psychologically. But also, if her body is in danger, you know, sexually transmitted diseases are very serious and life-threatening for some people. I have women in support groups, you know, who
unfortunately have been tested HIV positive, and just from their marriage and their husband's acting out. So it can be unsafe to remain when he won't choose sobriety and recovery.
I never thought about that. Not only do you suffer the psychological and the emotional damage from this, but somebody who's active like that, you know, you could literally be risking your life with an STD or HIV or something along those lines. That's really amazing. You talk about reading the signs and knowing when you should say, hey, we need some distance. You know, if you're not going to get help, then I've got to separate from you. How does that play out with pornography, Jeannie? I can see the case of somebody's husband running around or wife running around, and you know, you've got real marital intimacy that's been violated and they're being intimate with somebody else. But what about the person that does this solo, so to speak? What advice do you give to that wife that's listening right now who knows her husband's engaging in this and he thinks it's harmless?
Well, we know that it wounds the woman's heart because it still is infidelity. So whether it's virtual or whether it is in reality, it still wounds your heart. And I can remember at one point saying to my husband, if you would have fallen in love with another woman, I could have handled it better.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Because I can understand relationships and something developing or something like that. But the idea that you're choosing to self-pleasure with images of other women, that's just cruel. That's just mean. That's such a sense of rejection that sends a woman initially into thoughts like, I'm not good enough. What's wrong with me? I mean, you go to that until you pull yourself up by the grace of God and realize, no, wait a minute. He's the one that shows sexual sin. The problem lies with him. And to be able to look at that and not take it so personally. But it wounds, I'll tell you, it wounds women as deep and, as I said, sometimes even deeper when it is self-pleasuring.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Lewis is in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Lewis. Good afternoon. You're on the air, sir.
Hello, Drew. I just wanted to let you all know that the person that the lady on your program was describing, that was me. I was a manipulator, a liar. My wife knew about my addiction. She confronted me in front of her teenage daughters. It was shameful, and I still kept on doing it. Then years later, I went to a church retreat. And God changed my life. I had that Jesus moment, that Jesus encounter through reconciliation. And she didn't know my infidelities, sleeping with prostitutes. She found out like 5 years later. So it wasn't a fact because I was already walking with the Lord. But I can say that even when I was trying to stay away from pornography, even friends that had never sent me for pornography were texting me and emailing me pornography, and I couldn't. A priest told me one time, that you have a very powerful weapon, and I told him, what is it? He said, delete. Don't read it. Don't open it. That really helped me a lot, but it's been great. It'll be 34 years of marriage. My wife put up with me for 18 years. I thank God for that. But now we counsel couples. We give pornography talks, and it can be done. And for us, it's been serving others, and giving testimony of what God has done in our lives.
Well, Lewis, I appreciate your honesty and your candor, and I love your testimony because God does bring good out of these situations. As you were talking, and I thought about what your wife went through, and I think also what the Lord told St. Faustina, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to God's mercy. For that man or that woman right now who's committed infidelity or wounded the other, God's mercy is there for you, and there is healing for both partners, and I think that's really important. Keep up your really good work, Lewis, and I'm grateful for your call. Let me ask you about that, Ellen or Jeannie. For those who want to find that healing, they want to begin anew, they want this behind them, they want to clean the slate, what are the best steps? Where do they go? And what are the next steps for those individuals?
True. I would say that, if you've done something and you've hurt yourself, you've done something wrong and you got caught as a child, what did you do? You ran to your mama to kiss your boo-boos and make you all better, right? So our best recommendation is to run to our mama, to run to Mama Mary. And here in the Diocese of Green Bay, where Reclaim Sexual Health and Navigate Betrayal were founded, is the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. And Elizabeth Ministry and all of our programs and resources have been consecrated to Our Lady of Good Help. And we are inviting anyone in need to come. We have an Elizabeth Ministry retreat house, Zachariah House, for people to come where they can stay and have pre- and post-retreat support. They can do an intensive with consulting to help them move forward, either in healing from sexual sin or healing from the betrayals of sexual sin. And so reach out to your mama, Mama Mary, because it is only when we are filled with God's grace are we able to really have that full embrace that God wants us to have as husband and wife.
Beautifully said. My guests, Jeannie Hahnemann and Ellen Drews. Ellen, stay with us. When we come back, we'll grab a few more telephone calls. I'm approaching the twilight of the program, as I like to say. We only have about 10, maybe 15 minutes left. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. If you're just joining me, we're talking about navigating betrayal. Navigating betrayal. Maybe you've been betrayed through pornography or infidelity or some other means. If you want more information, I'll give you a good resource. The website is NavigateBetrayal.com. Go and check that out now. NavigateBetrayal.com. Our conversation continues right after this. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit RelevantRadio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
A great bumper, Maggie. Thank you. My gratitude to Maggie, who's producing today, and Patrick, who's on the phones. And my deep appreciation for you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon and to give you a look at life, which you normally don't hear discussed anywhere else. Today we're talking about a bitter pill to swallow, that of betrayal. It's something I pray to God I never have to know. I know many of you, well, maybe you have endured it. Maybe you're in the storm right now. And if that's the case, I want you to know there is help. There is hope. There is healing for you. There's a great website out called NavigateBetrayal.com. I'm joined by two people who know what it's like to suffer from this. Jeannie Hahnemann joins me, but so does Ellen Drews. And Ellen, I want to go back to you before we jump to the phones, because I know you coach other women who've been through this, and you must hear some real horror stories. Tell me a little bit about your coaching and ultimately, you know, some of the, maybe share a story or two of those women who thought it was over and yet now have found healing and have healthy relationships once again.
Sure. So, yes, I do private coaching and consulting. I work with clients who find me pretty much online. I have a website, which is www.ellendrews.com. And I work with women through all stages of the healing. Sometimes they find me very early on when they've just had a discovery. Sometimes, you know, later in the process when they're still trying to heal from betrayal trauma that happened many years ago. So wherever they are when they find me, that's where we start our work. And mm-hmm. I just really journey with them and help them through the process of healing, helping them to find themselves. And if I could share one thing about what I witness when I see these women mm-hmm. heal is, you know, something really terrible happens and moves them into this work of self-discovery. And, you know, it's like they had this major disconnection happen in their life and in their relationship and in their marriage. But there's really an opportunity for reconnection. And what I find when these women do the work and they choose to heal from something like betrayal trauma, they really reconnect with themselves, with God, with others. And I really see yeah. women come to life like, you know, they come out of it and they really say, not that I would ever wish this on anyone because it's a terrible way to get to this place, but boy, oh boy, is the outcome really wonderful because, you know, they That's just good. Tend to find that they have a greater sense of purpose and deeper compassion and a strengthened faith once they've moved through this. So it's a really beautiful process to watch women heal.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thank you for sharing that. Let me grab the phones. We only have a few minutes. I want to get as many calls as we can in here. A lot of people patiently waiting. Joe's listening in California, and his wife, I think, is pretty abusive emotionally. Joe, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, my big question is, how do I get help? Because, like, pornography is like a go-to. Things get really bad at the house. She maybe yells at me or triggers me, and all of a sudden, I don't want to leave, and I'm trying to handle this, and I don't drink. And it started out that way because it was like, okay, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. What's a natural thing to do is masturbate. And then internet access came, like, through COVID and stuff. All of a sudden, we had internet, and all of a sudden, boom, there's this new thing in Flash, and it provides a lot of, like, instantaneous relief, but then I feel guilty and horrible, and I'm really struggling to find out how I can stop it. I want to stop the internet, and I struggle with that, too, because everybody uses it now in the house, but I feel like I just need to get rid of that. Any suggestions or any programs out in California I could look into?
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story and for your desire of your heart to heal and to understand that your wife right now is in so much pain. Imagine that she's just striking out because of the pain, not necessarily even specifically for you. But the first thing you need to do is get to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, because you need to be in the state of grace in order to have the strength to be able to stop this. And then you do whatever it takes to stop this. And if it means no smartphone, if it means no access to computers for a while, then you start there. I would also encourage you not to work on the idea of just restraining yourself, which is what most people recommend. And instead, what we do is we encourage you to retrain your brain so that you don't have those kinds of pulls and triggers that you're talking about. So please go to ReclaimSexualHealth.com and sign up to join that community, where you're going to get the resources to teach you how to retrain your brain. It's called The Brain Science of Change. It was created by a brain scientist from Harvard. And you will learn techniques and tools how to retrain your brain so that this drive to do this is not so strong. And then have your wife go to NavigateBetrayal.com so she can heal at the same time.
And this is a whole other conversation. Gosh, we could dive into this in such detail. Joe, there is software out there that it will allow accountability, and it can also filter so your family can use the internet, and you can be, you know, it can help govern, you know, your access to the porn. But go to the website, Reclaim Sexual Health. You'll find all the info there. Jeannie, your advice is great, though. Confession. This is a spiritual thing. At the very heart of this is something very dark and sinister and evil. And we really do need that spiritual protection that comes with the grace. We need the healing that comes with that particular grace. For any man, you might feel guilty. You might feel, oh, I can't confess this again. Get in there. There's a grace that comes with that sacrament. Time is so short. I want to go to Sharon. She's in Montclair, New Jersey. Her husband has had multiple affairs. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I just wanted to seek some advice. I have somebody, you know, before we were even married, he cheated on me. I let it go. We were married like 7 years, then found out about another one. Let it go. Actually, we got divorced at that point, but then we connected and went back. We've been married now 33 years, but in the meantime, in between, he's had multiple year affairs, and you know, then he blames it on me, like I'm not close enough or whatever, and I don't know what to do. He won't come to church. He thinks I'm a goofball, you know, like. Praying the rosary and all that. He just won't
Sharon,
go.
Sharon, I'm really sorry to hear what... Sharon, I'm really, really sorry for the pain that you're going through right now. And we're almost out of time on Drew's show, but I would encourage you to contact us at NavigateBetrayal.com so that we can have a one-on-one conversation with you so that we can help you more specifically. But for a lot of people, what you're talking about is they might have seen something while they were engaged or dating. And anybody who's listening, don't think it's going to change once you get a ring on your finger. It is not something that you want to do, is enter into a marriage relationship with someone who is not capable of being faithful to you.
I again, forgive me if I'm going to sound uncharitable here, but for a woman to be married 33 years and her husband have multiple affairs, what does a woman who's in a situation like that do? Because is it a codependency? Is there a psychological problem on the part of the woman? She's afraid to be alone.
There can be so many different reasons why this can happen. But one of that is that there is bonding that occurs between a husband and a wife that is supposed to be one, right?
Yeah.
And so that breaking of that can be very difficult for a lot of women. And so I'm sure, Sharon, that this has been very hard for you, because I bet there's some really good qualities about your husband, too, that keep you bonded to him. And a lot of what you're saying he's done, he's doing what's called gaslighting. He's mm-hmm. bothering and affecting your mental stability by the things he's doing. Ellen, what do you have to say?
First, sorry. I can hear the pain, and I do want you, you had mentioned this started before marriage, and it almost always does. And so that just reminds us to remind women, it has nothing to do with you. You could be the perfect wife, and if your husband still has trauma and has been reaching to solve non-sexual problems with sexual acting out, it doesn't matter. He's going to do that until he gets help for that trauma that he has. But yes, Sharon, there's so much healing for you, and I would definitely encourage you to reach out and get some more one-on-one so that you can just find some strength and some solid ground for you to stand on right now.
Yeah, well, Ellen, I want to thank you for your witness and for being with us. I'm up against the clock. We'll have to have you back when we have more time to really dive into this. My apologies to everyone on hold. I will revisit how we can navigate betrayal. But I do want to give you a website in the final few seconds of the show. The website is called NavigateBetrayal.com. If you're struggling with pornography, go to ReclaimSexualHealth.com. But check out NavigateBetrayal.com. All the info is there. Jeannie, it's always good to have you in studio,
Drew,
with me.
God bless
you
on the Feast of the Visitation.
Until our paths get crossed, remember that God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day. May God bless you.